My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Last week, Lima was talking tough, so we were all just a bunch of basic idiots for being a little bit up and down about the Guardians. And hey, they won five straight. It's a weird time, because you said it's a waste of my time to live and die with every pitch. And I'm saying, Anthony, eventually I win this argument. We're going to get too late in the year, and other teams are still starting to come along here. The Royals aren't going away. They're only three games away from you.
I know.
The Twins are only two games away from you.
That's the one, like, we've been monitoring the Twins, that the Royals have been able to kind of hang around for as long as they
exactly.
have.
Exactly. So now you have yourself a race for the division here, where other teams are smelling opportunity. And you happen to run into maybe the hottest team in baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers. So I guess that's explainable here. But I need to know, are you singing a different tone this morning after a sweep against the Milwaukee Brewers?
And the irony in what I'm about to tell you is, I am more concerned. But the irony is, like, their pitching was pretty solid. I mean, you give up nine runs on the road against a team like that.
Yeah.
And their lineup had been performing. You know, you'd think nine would be plenty good to win two out of three. Or, heck, maybe even pull off a sweep. And instead, you're the victims of a sweep. And they obviously ran into a really good team. But I hadn't feared anybody because of what we were able to do, be it, you know, Philadelphia. We'd had these series where, you know, we were just fine hanging in there. Obviously, the Twins, the Orioles, like, no matter who we faced, yeah, that really wasn't a problem. It was stupid series like you had against, you know, the White Sox of all teams. That had been what, strangely enough, had been the series where you had some weird limitations. Yes. With all of this, yes. I mean, they still, like, we've been talking about their record in the American League, their record in Major League Baseball. Now it's a little more jumbled at the top, but nobody have really been able to pull away. Your problem is now that not only have you not been able to pull away from the Twins and now the Royals, it's that they are right there in a bad series against those teams you could topple.
I don't know how the postseason is going to go. Real quick, I don't know how the postseason is going to go. But I look at the postseason as a reward for the way that they've played. I don't think that this was a team that anybody really gave a chance to make the postseason, other than their history of, hey, they're a good, solid organization. They'll be there. They'll be around there in the end, and we'll see where it goes. That was like the only thing you could say. I want them to be rewarded. It's going to be, I think, a very tough postseason. Owen had mentioned before the show, the Astros are lurking again. Yeah. You have to pay attention to them. I want them to get to the postseason as a reward, because I don't want all this to go for naught. Because there's a lot of teams where it's just expectations, and then we will start freaking out in earnest. I want them to have a postseason because of the way that they've done, where unexpectedly they've went out there and performed to a high level. Owen, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to give you a little, maybe something to look at as hope in what's going on. I've been a strength of schedule guy, right?
Always.
So it's gotten better. It's more in the Guardians' favor right now. They now have the 11th toughest strength of schedule remaining. The Royals have the second. The Twins are 10th. So, I mean, just looking at that, like, the Royals should take care of that. Plus, you have 7 games left with the Royals. So, it's either sink or swim with them, I think. If you can put them out yourselves.
Well, and
the Twins are going to be floating right around, and you're around the same strength of schedule.
And yeah, and we're going to dissect how we've gotten to this point, what's gone on with the lineup. But the home games, you know, they're still a great home team, and they have, you know, I think the most amount of home games of maybe anybody in Major League Baseball the rest of the year. Whatever, there's a bunch of them. So it's not like you've squandered everything. It's not like, you know, that we're throwing away the season. I don't think it has to be that way at all. But yes, Kenny, you're asking me, am I concerned? I have a new concern about them that maybe you had already shared, and maybe that's why, you know, you're taking the tack that you are. This wakes me up a little bit. It does. And it's not, again, like, I think the season's over. It's not that I don't think they can win a playoff series or anything like that. But now they're going to be in a fight here, and we're about to find out a lot, obviously, about, you know, the makeup of this team. You know, on paper, lineup-wise, they've been able to somehow scratch and claw and score enough, despite the fact that, I mean, the bottom of the order seems like it hasn't been ready for prime time for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got, I mean, look at Steven Kwan. I mean, he's down to 314, I think, his average. I mean, he has plummeted over the last month and a half. You know, not just, oh, he's in a slump. No, he has plummeted.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of the problem, too.
I saw this. This was handed to us before. He's at 225 since the All-Star break.
And not only that, look at the way, not just him, but he sets the tone, right?
Mm-hmm.
How quickly are they going down in these first innings to where they're not working pitchers? That's a confidence thing. That's a mindset thing that, you know, I thought they were doing such a great job for the longest time, you know, earlier in this season of just getting to these starters. And now, I mean, these starters are making quick work of them where these are bad at bats. They are not seeing pitches. They're not allowing other guys, you know, in that clubhouse to see more pitches, and it's really hurting them. And it's a mentality thing that, you know, a vote is definitely going to be pressed on.
Yes. Well, what makes it exceptionally difficult, and this, it's going to get even tougher, is that, yeah, you're 2 games up. So I think every game counts. And I think that every game should count to a Guardians fan where they got to get in. And now it's like, hey, we got to go down the home stretch here. It's in late August. Season's going to end at the end of September. But early September, from Labor Day on, you have a long road trip from the 2nd to the 11th, and it's a weird road trip. You're at Kansas City for 3. You have a day off on that Thursday. You have a weekend series in Los Angeles. All right? Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after L.A., you're at Chicago with the White Sox. So you have this great big 9-game road trip that you're in Central Time, Western, back to Central. Then you're back home where there's no day off after September 11th. You're right back to it on September 12th on that Thursday at home for a weekend series against Tampa Bay. So you have this weird, rough stretch coming up where we're not even, I mean, we're still 2 weeks out from that time. But you have this weird, rough stretch coming up where that's going to be something that you're going to be taxed in. You've got a 2-game lead against a team right behind you. The Twins have been nipping away. And I want them to be rewarded for what they've done. There's a lot of things that I'm trying to avoid. I'm trying to avoid the Dolan's Cheaps crowd. I'm trying to avoid the people who really don't go to baseball games, but then try to give you reasons why they don't go to baseball games, as if I'm putting them through some sort of an inquisition over it. You don't want to go. Plenty of people have been going to the games. I'm trying to avoid that old tired conversation. So there's more pressure on them to go out and perform because of all that, because I want something to show from this season that I can build upon from next season, because everything's been great. But recently, Steven Kwan has struggled. There's been decisions there where I think that some people have been right. I think Vogt has found himself either messing around a little bit too much, not messing around enough, pressing the wrong buttons at the wrong time. It's been difficult for him. I think that's become a little bit of a problem here and there. And again, he's a rookie manager, so it doesn't mean that he needs to go, for crying out loud. But there's some things there that I think I agree with a lot of fans on that have been a bit wonky.
Well, and here's really the problem. Like, we can overanalyze it all we want, but I mean, this lineup, I don't know how you're going to get enough. Like, we want to talk turkey about like a playoff series. You know, from Schneeman to Freeman, to Bo Naylor. I mean, even David Fry. I mean, I hate to say it. It was an amazing story, and the All-Star. For him to get an All-Star bid, he's batting, Kenny. I mean, you want to know how bad the numbers are.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, it's 217 in July. It's 159 in August. I mean, that's borderline. I mean, doesn't belong in the big leagues. Like, that's how bad it is. And we're going up and down when you're talking about Kwan after the All-Star break. So there's not.
Well, Kwan is a table setter, and I think you're coming down to a question of trust. Votes a rookie manager. I don't trust him as much as I would trust Terry Francona. And that might not be right to some people, but obviously I don't. Do I trust Kwan? Yeah. I don't trust David Fry. I trust Jose Ramirez. That's two guys out of this lineup that I really trust. Josh Naylor, I got to be honest, I don't know if I trust him as time goes on, as we get further and further down this season, when the heat's coming on from the two other teams in your division. I don't know if I trust those guys to deal with that pressure. With the starting rotation, who can I trust to deal with pressure? Before, in years past, it was Kluber, then it was Bieber. It's like, all right, we can set the table here, we'll get a win, or they're going to get us as close as they can and get us through six innings. Maybe a little bit of Bibee. Maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Ben Lively, because he's a 32-year-old man? Is that it? But other than that, where do you trust the bullpen? Some of them. You'd certainly trust your closer, but I got to get to my closer.
Yeah, but that's it. And you got to get to the bullpen with a lead,
exactly,
which they have not had in like 4 weeks.
So if this were last year, if they were to make the playoffs last year and it'd be this year, I'd probably have a lot more trust in this lineup. Next year, I'll have a lot more trust in this lineup. That's why it's becoming so imperative to me. I got to get to the postseason some way, somehow, even with a wild card. If I don't win the division, we don't win the division. These things happen. Even with a wild card, that's fine. And I know that some people look at it and go, man, you guys had a 10 or a 9-game lead in the month of July, and you let that one slip, and you had to wild card it in. I don't care about that. It's still a young team. There's still a lot of young talent on this team. I could push it forward, and then I could build trust this season. That's what I'm trying to do.
I totally agree with that. I just wonder what levers can vote. I mean, we're going to put a lot on vote here down the stretch. We're going to compare and contrast with Tito until...
Well, if Kwan can't set it, then he can't set it. So there's nothing Stephen Vogt can do.
What are the levers that he can pull? And maybe it's more of a psychology thing, a mentality thing. And see, that's where you would have more trust in Tito, because he's just been there, done that for so many times. He's seen droughts. He's seen slumps. He would know at least how to wake guys up. I just looking at the names and the track records, is there waking up that can be done?
Mitch Spinell, our very own, went to the stadium on Saturday, and we have this function now on the free Odyssey app. It's fantastic. You go to the Odyssey app, okay? You open it up. Then you go and you click on the fan. It should be your favorite right there. Right there you're following. And then next to Listen Live, you will see a microphone. And you click on the microphone and you can leave us a message right there. So coming in hot never has to end. Right there on your free. Again, this is free. This costs you nothing. On the free Odyssey app, you open up the microphone, you hit the microphone, you press the microphone. It says recording in 3, 2, 1, and now it's recording my voice, and now I'm talking, and now it's recording my voice, and now I'm talking, and then I hit the pause, and then it says send, it has my name in Cleveland, I submit, and now it's submitted. It's that simple.
It's submitted.
Yeah.
There's no censorship here.
None.
It's not, there's no algorithm that's going to change it. Now, see, I'm excited about this. So we're going to see how Mitch utilized this. I'm very excited because, you know, he told us last week he'd never been to a game. We had a big debate. You even put up a poll on whether or not this counts as a real Browns game to have that first experience. So I am truly excited to see what Mitch really thought of that experience.
So we have, before we get Mitch on live, we have Mitch's impressions from the Browns-Vikings game. This is on the free Odyssey app, the voice messages. Here's Mitch's first impressions. He's seen the stadium from the outside plenty of times. You're 26. In 26 years, he's never been in the stadium. So here is Mitch's impression of the stadium from the inside.
I'm officially inside the stadium, and I got to say, I actually like the interior of the stadium more than I do the exterior. I think it's a good setup. I like the color of the chairs, the orange. I like the wraparound of the players and the Ring of Honor. I like the setup, and I think this is pretty good for what I'm seeing so far.
Any good stadium has the display of the players in the Ring of Honor.
They do I'm aware, but chairs as well.
I liked the way they went about it, and I was getting into how much I liked it more than the outside. The outside I had mentioned in before was like you kind of snapped a whole bunch of big Lego pieces together on the east and west ends, while the outside was kind of like more standard, but the inside I was more impressed with.
Okay. So he went through the game. I want to see what people's faces were. You're recording these things into your phone, but either way.
Yeah, were you nervous to do this in front of anybody? Did you kind of find somewhere off to the side to do it?
Yeah, it was. Well, some of them were in my seat, and then other ones were like in the corridor. It was basically I was just talking into speakerphone.
It is something where I don't think his generation is nervous about doing any of that stuff. Like, they make Instagram videos. They do not care about the people around them. TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like, me, I'm like, okay, is everybody gone? Like, before I do, like, a get-go thing, I'm like, is there somebody? Oh, no, somebody's coming in here. I can't. Oh, I'm too bashful to do it. Their generation does not care. Later on, would Mitch prefer indoor or outdoor? Hit it.
Even though today is a bit of a humid August day compared to more fall or winter weather you would get later on in the season, I'm not so sure about the prospects of outdoor football as opposed to a dome stadium where there's obviously AC or heat, whatever you need. The conditions are more secured. I'm not opposed to outdoor football, but on average, I'd probably just prefer the indoor.
But now he's just inner monologuing.
Yeah.
I think he forgot that he was recording this and that we were looking for actually good audio. I think at some point that was lost on him, and he was just extemporaneously talking, which is what we wanted it to be.
Yeah. So here's Mitch, his final thoughts exiting the stadium. Let's see if he gives his answer right here.
All right, we're filtering out of the stadium right now. The game's out of reach at this point, like it ever mattered. Overall, not a bad experience. I mean, for a preseason game, the stadium had some things on the outside I wasn't a big fan of, but inside, not too bad. 7 out of 10, would recommend. But might need to get that dome stadium. I'm just saying.
7 out of 10 is what you said the stadium was.
Just my overall experience,
and
yeah.
And you believe we need a dome stadium?
I'd prefer it over the renovations, but if it comes to that, then I'm not going to be upset.
But you said as you were leaving, you told us before the show, as you were leaving, it was like a downpour?
Well, yeah, it was started to rain right as we exited the stadium, and the stadium doesn't allow you to bring umbrellas. I didn't bring a poncho, so me and my friend got like drenched once we got to the city limits.
Now, for effect and for theater, you know, part of what we do, we always tell you, that we give you the unvarnished truth as we see it. But at times, there can be a little bit of theater involved because it's the radio.
Yes.
You know, part of entertainment. Did any part of you think, as you were leaving the stadium in a downpour, that maybe that would have been the appropriate time to start talking about, you know, the weather and actually record into your phone?
Yes.
I'm not saying that it would have been the most inappropriate time. What I'm saying to you is I was so focused on avoiding the rain that my first thought wasn't to pull out my phone and talk into the
like
free
when
off
Jim season. Cantore is doing some of his best work. It's not in the studio.
No.
Mitch.
He wears a baseball helmet or a batter's helmet. What goes on out there?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yes. He steers towards, you know, the disaster. It seemed as if maybe that would have been pretty good, compelling audio.
Once I left the stadium, I figured my job on the weekend, by the way, that I did this on my own time, was complete.
Now, you know your rights. You know you don't have to work when you're not scheduled to work.
I was more so focused on getting out of the rain, okay, changing my clothes, and getting over to the Jack.
Okay.
Oh, you wanted to go gamble.
So where was that monologue?
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Although, if you pull your phone out at a casino, I think you might get reprimanded.
Do they have pit bosses over at the Jack?
I don't know. Yeah. After the loss I had the other night, you would not have wanted to hear my voice on that.
Oh, somebody's going to have problems paying his rent this month. Chris Harsh, who is the Ward 13 councilperson, was also at the stadium. This is on Saturday before the game. Fans are filing in. The Cleveland City Council decided to do a very scientific...
was this on the Odyssey app?
...poll. This was not on the Odyssey app. This is from Nick Castell, who's a reporter from Signal Cleveland. He had a video of Chris Harsh. Danny Kelly, who's also on the city council, is with him, but he was not in this video. This is Chris Harsh from Ward 13 asking people if they would rather like a stadium in Brook Park or to keep it along the lakefront as they go into the building. Here it is.
The Browns stay here or go to Brook Park? Stay here? Stay here or go to Brook Park? The Browns stay here or go to Brook Park? Got it. The Browns stay here or go to Brook Park? Stay here or go to Brook Park? Browns stay here or go to Brook Park?
He says the results are in. Chris Harsh says, this week and last, we surveyed over 3,000 ticket-buying fans. 60% said the team should stay put. 37% like the move. 3% don't care. He says, if this is truly about the fans, the team should stay put.
And seven individuals cursed at me as I was asking. Push me aside. Okay. Well, I had been critical last week that I felt the city, the county, the state.
This video is great, by the way. He looks like he's taking people's coffee order. It's really good stuff. Go ahead.
He's barking out front.
Go ahead.
This is what they do.
You had the megaphone?
I was critical that there were no public hearings.
This is your public hearing.
I feel that the community had been silenced on these issues. And lo and behold, there we go. We were asking for the people to have a say, and here they clearly have a say, Kenny.
It is because of the game and having... there were only two listed starters that were in dress on Saturday. There were two guys. There were Shelby Harris and Devin Bush. That's it. Everybody else, I have in red right there. They weren't playing on Saturday. It is conversation that dominates the landscape during these two preseason games. Because you're not sitting there... guys, we're going to talk about the offensive line and fears on the offensive line, all that stuff coming up with Zach at 8 o'clock. But when you're in the stadium and there's nobody playing for your football team that you really recognize, there's no starters, you know, depending on how good things go, you can't sit there and go, man, we're going to go to a Super Bowl, because you kind of pull yourself away and go, well, it's preseason. If it goes poorly, like it did on Saturday, you go, eh, it's not that big of a deal. None of these guys are going to be playing for this football team anyway. I mean, about 50 spots, I bet, are already figured out on this roster. Maybe 51 or 52. So we'll figure it out how we get from there. So there's not a lot of things to get into. So what do you do in the stands? You sit there and talk about whether or not you'd be in this stadium or whether you want to be in downtown or in Brook Park. I cannot tell you how many people, whether it be fans as I ran into them out in the parking lot, whether it be people in security, parking attendants, anything like that. It was the first thing they brought up was our conversation with Ed Orcutt, the mayor of Brook Park, Blaine Griffin, the city council president. Like, they brought that up, and it was just, it was stadium stuff. It wasn't on DTR or Jameis Winston or anything else. Not Cade York and whether or not they're shopping him and trying to get a pick back because they have Cade York on their football team, which is a smart move. It wasn't any of that. It was, hey, would this thing be better in a dome? Would it be better if we were parking, would we had several points of ingress? Or is it better if we're on the lake? That's the conversation now.
Yeah, and I mean that's what I was asked. So
this is basically your public forum, Tom.
I know. And you know, over at the feast this weekend, it was a constant discussion about how certain are you it's Brook Park? Is it a done deal? Is it not a done deal? And it did. It definitely dominated the conversation. I thought this was a fun thing. It was a great stunt to go out there. Maybe it wasn't a stunt. Maybe they were literally doing some polling. There's a few problems with the polling process, obviously.
Of course, yes.
For anybody that's looking for real analysis of what the community really believes, I think if you also tweak the questioning about funding, what does it mean for actual taxpayers? I think you'd get a whole set of different numbers. In the end, but you're right. I mean, this is something that everybody, especially that lives in the region, not just Cuyahoga County, they all want to know where this thing is heading.
I'll be fully honest. There's times where I waffle. Like when 10 years ago, when this was first ever discussed on this station, I was full blown. We need outdoor football. It's outdoor. I like it. Things change over time once I see a possibility of it. And then yesterday or a Saturday, hey, they're doing this. Again, I don't think it's very scientific. I thought it was a nice stunt, ploy, whatever you want to call it. I thought it was fun. Not attacking the people who did it whatsoever. You ask them when they go into a bright, sunny stadium. It's a nice Saturday day in August. Yeah. It's preseason, so nobody really cares about the results. So that's a nice time at the park.
Mitch,
but I'm telling you,
Mitch should have been polling as he was leaving in the downpour.
When we're bringing out the rain jackets, and they go, Kenny, you got to put this on. You got to protect the equipment. I look up in the stands, and they are exiting those seats in droves. And you can just feel the, oh, God, here we go. And it's starting to rain. Like, it was an audible going, all right, wouldn't have to do this if there was a roof over this place. Yeah, like, it was that feeling.
What would the numbers have been if those councilmen were out there as they were exiting?
On the way out, whether or not they would want one.
I bet you those same people might have voted differently.
Yes. So a lot of things, the weather, I know a lot of people get romantic about the weather. It's fun. There is a back and forth. It seems pretty cool to be on the lakefront. Seems pretty cool to play in the elements. Seems
and
pretty
downtown.
Cool to have the quote-unquote home field advantage, even though we really haven't had a home field advantage for the 25 years that the stadium's been there. And being downtown, that's all great. That's all great. But the images that I see and in real time and in real brass tacks, it doesn't change anything for me. It's that I've seen what we've seen up on the lakefront. Yeah, I'd still rather do this Brook Park thing.
And I think the reality that we've all known, we can dance around it all we want. In the end, it's probably not going to come down to taxpayers. It might not even come down to the city councilman. I mean, in the end, it's going to be Jimmy Haslam and whatever Cuyahoga County, what the actual numbers are going to be, the amount of financing they can come up with. That's going to dictate this way more than the actual voters and the people of the community.
Because you want to talk tough, but you also want to get a piece of that as well.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, this one was brought up. Got to write this one down. We were wondering when a good time to use it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe what I was hearing when it came to the community bounce house. It's not that you see a bounce house and it's for the community until you realize, all the kids actually want to get involved in the bounce house, Kenny.
So
the bounce house business, so to speak.
Last weekend, I felt bad because a kid, I assume it's their grandson or granddaughter or whatever it is, a couple houses, a few houses down at the end of the, we're at the end of the cul-de-sac, and they're at the beginning of the cul-de-sac. So at the very beginning, you could see off in the distance a giant, in the backyard, a giant bounce house. Like whoever is the proprietor brought the trailer, they took it back there. It was Sunday morning and it was early. And I'm like, man, that's a big ass bounce house. It was huge. It was like a bounce castle. And I felt bad because I didn't even think twice about it. I pulled in to my driveway, looked, I said, whoa. And I just went inside. So later that day, people start arriving to the kids, I assume birthday party or whatever party it was. And then my youngest and my middle are outside and they see a bounce house. And they're like, and I realize, I go, yeah, we can't go over there. And they're like, what? I'm like, we don't know them. We don't know that you can't just go to a bounce house. And I'm thinking, boy, it wasn't like they put it in the front yard for the whole neighborhood to see the bounce house. And they're like, it's our bounce house. You can't come and get inside of it. But they did see it because it was so big. And I'm thinking, I'm not gonna impose on them that they have to open their bounce house to everybody. But if you get a bounce house, should all kids in the neighborhood be welcome to that bounce house, even if they're not invited to the birthday party?
Because you know what a killer it is for any kid that sees that to what... That's a fantasy as a kid.
Jonas,
you
sat
see
there.
Something like that, and that's what you aspire to be able to participate with.
Jonas sat there on our front porch, just staring at it, and he didn't cry, but you could tell he was just like, "This is not fair. I can't believe I can't go over and get in this great big tremendous." It was so big, Tone. It was almost the size of their actual house. It was that big of a bounce house.
My God, how much does it cost to rent one of these for the day?
It has to be an exorbitant sum. It has to be so much. So if you get a bounce house, my question is, like, if I got one for a birthday, do I have to open it up to the rest of the neighborhood?
Just as long as nobody has to sign a waiver, right? It's not one of those with this huge liability.
Did you have to do that with trampolines when you were a kid?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my dad had to write a permission slip for the kid down the street so we wouldn't sue him if I got hurt.
We have had this in the past. Not me personally, but my kids have went to the birthday party that features a bounce house at the end of the street, right? And they have actually done the party happens from 3 to 6 or whatever, and then they will open it up for neighborhood play.
General public. That's great. I love that.
Which is great. And it depends on the day of the weekend in which you rent it, because sometimes if it's Saturday and they need to get it back beforehand. But I know people, there are companies that it's just like renting a U-Haul, right? Like, you rent it on Saturday, and you're supposed to turn it in within 24 hours, but we're not open on Sunday. So as long as you get it back Monday morning before it works out.
The people in the people, they were pulling like a trailer, and you could tell.
So it was a company that came and set it up.
And I don't think they left. I think that they were overseeing the use of the bounce house.
Oh, yeah.
Tony, it was so big. I mean, it did take professionals to probably get in. No, I don't ever want to get in any of those bounce houses. I just assume they're one great big toilet. So I don't want to get in any one of those things.
It's
no.
Okay for your children.
This is one. Yeah, they're kids. I don't care. Yeah. Ball pits, things like that. I make them take baths. Kids are disgusting anyway. So they can go get even more disgusting if they want to. But I'm not getting in that giant toilet that they call a bounce house. Mitch on St. Clair, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Hello. Listen, you have to tell your son that life ain't fair. It's a bounce house. He didn't pay for it. The other parents paid for it. You buy him a bounce house.
He didn't press me on the answer, Mitch. He just accepted it.
You buy him a bounce house.
I'm not buying him anything.
All right, Mitch,
enough.
Let me ask, because I do think there's going to be pressure on Ken to now supply a bounce house for the next, you know, gathering. My question for you is,
I'm not supplying bounce houses for anything.
Let Lima talk, Ken. Come
at on. What age? At what age, Mitch? Because, like, I'm going to feel.
I made a bounce houses.
My kids, like, you know, Izzy is 2 now, so she sees anything.
Right. Right.
I got to make her happy. I got to make her feel good. I can't teach her lessons at this age. At what age do the lessons start getting taught?
At 2.
Already.
Boom.
I can start denying her those things
in
life.
Time to grow up is.
Look, life is not fair. Hey, Ken, if somebody was making a barbecue and your favorite ribs was getting cooked and you smelt them, you gonna go over there just because you want to?
No.
Okay then.
But I didn't let them.
He sees that. Hold on,
that's a consumable.
He sees that apple pie on the windowsill. The neighbors. He's going over.
He starts floating.
I'm gonna float over there like a cartoon character.
Yeah, we are like a Yogi Bear. Stop it, everybody! Stop it.
I'm sorry, Ken.
Goodbye, Mitch. Thank you very much. I'm asking if it's acceptable to believe that if I get the bounce house, and even if it were for family, like, okay, we're having a birthday party for Jonah and only his cousins are coming and his brother and stuff like that. Well, I mean, we live in a neighborhood with technically 10 children overall. We're only three of them. They got to all be over for the bounce house, man.
Yeah.
I can't deny those sweet children a bounce house.
I do think about the upping the ante on how, you know, everybody's first birthday party now. I was telling Ken before the show, you know, how much we spent last year because we got another one coming up in February. And it does, like, you see what other people are doing, and there is a weird peer pressure. Like, if you can do it, if you're fortunate enough to be able, if you have the capacity to do it, that's why I think Kenny's going to have that bounce house. You might have a permanent bounce house before too long.
The one thing that we did, we have never done when we do children's birthdays, it's a family affair. So we don't do, that's when they get their presents and their cake and all that. They are allowed to do something with the kid, with friends, you know, like go to a game or things like that. But we kind of keep that tight so we don't have to run into these situations.
There was this kid, Chris, who lived a couple of houses down when I was really little. And I had to leave the birthday party early, and I didn't understand because all the other kids in the neighborhood got to stay. And it turned out his parents didn't like my parents.
Aw.
It was sad. So I feel bad for Jonah, even though I never brought him over there and he wasn't invited in the first place.
Man, I'm seeing the prices.
We carry our childhood trouble to our children. It's a shame.
I'm looking at the prices.
How much?
You can handle this.
How much? Give me a number.
There's a bunch under $500 for the rental.
For how long?
The day. I think you get it for the day,
the whole
right?
day for $500? Yeah. Oh, that's still a lot. I could spend that on a lot of other different things.
Yeah, but it ain't a bounce house.
No, it's not a bounce house.
Make sure that inclement weather and the big time winds aren't coming through.
Okay, well that's why you have that's why you leave it to professionals to go ahead and install the damn thing on your backyard.
There's an Island Oasis bounce house, Kenny. Come on.
Could we see Nick Chubb not in a bounce house?
I hope not.
But on the field at Cleveland Browns Stadium playing for your Browns against the Dallas Cowboys in week 1.
Kenny, Mermaid Castle. Oh my god, look at that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.